I guess y'all should welcome me, huh? Been gone to South. I went to South Georgia for a couple of weeks to see family and get some warm weather. Well, one out of two ain't bad, right? Just a few announcements before we begin worship. The church treasurer says that the books will be closed tomorrow. So if you want to make any further 2017 contributions, that's the deadline. And then the deacons are going to meet this Tuesday at 6:30. We need all those who are rotating on and all those who are rotating off to come to this meeting, because this is the organizational meeting for the year. So please, everybody come, and that way the new deacons can get up to speed and the old deacons can know they've left things in good hands. Prayer breakfast will be this Wednesday at 6:30 a.m. And I'm trying to remember, Gary's cooking, okay. So there will be gravy, so come and find out what kind. At 6:30 on Wednesday morning, and then at 6 o'clock Wednesday evening, the choir will practice. And the Daniel plan is starting soon. Millie said she wasn't going to be here. I was to remind everybody about the Daniel plan. It's going to be great. It's going to be starting soon, but I don't know exactly when. So watch this space for further announcements. 18th, sound right? Okay, so not this Thursday, but next Thursday. We got one more week to get it all together, so we're good. So let's be called to worship with these words. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's worship our God as we stand to sing his praise. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, as we enter into a new year, don't let us drag along all our old grudges and resentments, all our fears and regrets. Instead, let us draw close to you, the one who drew close to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Help us to trust completely in his sacrifice for our sins, even as we rely on his pardon and rest in his love. For we come claiming only his merits and offering the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would take up your hymnal, our responsive reading comes from the back of the hymnal as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Our responsive reading is Mark's account of the institution of the Lord's Supper. So I'll read the light-faced print and encourage you to respond with bold. Let's read this portion of God's Word responsively, selection 626. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lambs were being slaughtered, his disciples said to him, Where would you like us to go and prepare for your Passover supper?
So he sent out two of his disciples with these instructions. Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. When he enters the house, give this message to the householder. The master says, Where is the room reserved for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?
He will show you a large room upstairs, set out in readiness. Make the preparations for us there.
Then the disciples went off, and when they came into the city, they found everything just as he had told them. So they prepared for Passover.
In the evening, he came to the house with the 12. As they sat at supper, Jesus said, I tell you this, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. During supper, he took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them with the words, "Take this, this is my body."
Then he took the cup, and having offered thanks to God, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it.
And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, shed for many. I tell you this, never again shall I drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's turn in our hymnals to sing a hymn as well, selection 212, as we meditate on the wonder of the Lord's Supper. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 212. Let us stand to sing. We have sung our Lord's praise. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
You may be seated. Our minute for mission today, so I thought I'd read this letter from Elizabeth. She says, "I've never liked the color purple. I'll admit to the pettiness of mostly hating it because my sister loves it. It's silly, but it's true. Over the last year, though, my feelings have radically changed. Feelings over a color? You may wonder, why does this even matter? And I'll tell you why. It's a good story. It's an unfinished story. It's a story of a woman who I long to call sister. A story of a woman who became a dear friend, though we do not speak the same language. A story of a woman who changed me forever. We'll call her Salvation. There's much promise in this name, as I think you can see. I saw her almost every day, and she was just another person for a long time. Then one day, she was more. I saw her. I really saw her. Do you remember the friendship of David and Jonathan? The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. It's weird. It's deep. It's unnatural. Supernatural, I think. But it's akin to what I now feel for her. I became burdened for this woman, my friend. I felt, and I still feel, like she's important and wonderful. She's kind. She's beautiful. She looks out for others. Compassionate, giving, saucy beyond belief, hilarious. My friendship with her has grown until now I feel like she's family. I've spent countless hours in her home, taken her to doctor's appointments and picked her up from the hospital. During Ramadan, she taught me to cook the food she knows I love so much, and I taught her how to sew. Well, as you might have guessed, she likes the color purple. The color purple is used throughout Advent, this time of waiting and preparation and repentance. Every time I see it, I think of Salvation. And I remember the promise of her name. I remember the time that she was removed from us. I remember the waiting, the longing, the grieving, the deep repentance of that time. And then I remember the joy that flooded over and through and out of the very depths of me when she came back to us. This is Advent, I think. The waiting, the grieving that the world is not as it should be, and yet filled with the promise that he has come. He has lived as one of us. He has died. And in this dying, he has purchased life everlasting for those who believe. And all because of love. His deep and wonderful love for me, for you, caused him to come down as that babe so very long ago. A small version of this love is what he has placed inside of me for his people who have not yet met him. People like Salvation. They have not heard. They do not know why he came, what it means. How will they hear unless we tell them? This is what I long to do, what I'm convinced God is calling me to do, to see them. To know them, to be with them, to tell them about him. So now, when I see the tree decorated with purple and silver and gold, I don't roll my eyes in weariness of a world gone purple mad. I remember. I pray. I love. If you have not yet partnered with me, will you prayerfully consider doing so? You're an essential part of this love going forth into the unreached corners of the world. Wishing you and yours a very merry, happy, peace, and love-filled Advent season. Elizabeth. What else can be said? God's love has come. Let's take up our hymnals as we prepare our hearts for prayer, turning to selection 560 as we dedicate this new year to the Lord. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 560. Let us stand to sing. may be seated. We've already begun our prayer time, haven't we? That hymn is a prayer that God would use this year, would fill this coming year with the same sorts of blessings with which he blessed us in 2017. And so with that spirit of thanksgiving and of looking forward, expecting with anticipation God's blessings to come, let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you are a God of so many blessings. As we look back over this year that has just been completed, we have many, many reasons to give you thanks. You have blessed us so richly, and we anticipate even more of your blessings in the coming year, not because we are worthy, but because you are so good and gracious, because you are slow to anger, because you are abounding in steadfast love. Thank you, Lord. And yet, as we look back over 2017, we know as well that we had some pretty tough times, too. We lost some people who were very important to us. We've been through problems in our lives, problems of sickness or injury or surgery. Some, Lord, are grieving the difficulties in their loved ones' lives that they can't fix. Broken relationships, addiction, other struggles. And yet, Lord, we have to confess that through these difficulties that we've been through this last year, you have drawn us closer to you. When you have brought us to the end of our abilities, you have brought us to the point where we know how much we need you. And even in those times, we give you thanks. And so, Lord, we pray for the year to come that you would do more of the same. We pray that for the tough times, and yes, there will be some tough times this year, that you would sanctify our suffering to us and to our loved ones. Lord, that when we experience sickness or injury, or when we have to go to the hospital for surgery, or when we have to go to the funeral home to comfort the grieving, or when we ourselves grieve, Lord, in those tough times, that you will be with us, that we will carry the promise of Christmas with us, knowing that you are with us no matter what we're going through, that you have experienced all of the pain and the suffering that this world can bring, and you understand. And Lord, we thank you also for the blessings that will come this year. We thank you for the ways that you're going to demonstrate your faithfulness to us. We don't even know what they are, but you do. And we thank you, O Lord, in advance for the surprises that you're going to bring around every corner, for the joy that you will present to us. Give us eyes to see those joys. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of praying, for the privilege of knowing you, for the privilege of responding to your love. And we pray for our sister Elizabeth and for others who seek to spread this good news, to share the good news of Christmas, that God has come to be with us in the person of Jesus Christ. And the even more amazing good news, that God has come to die for us, that we might live forever. And so, Lord, even as we support our missionaries and our church planters as they labor to spread the gospel, help us to do that too, Lord. Help us to spread the gospel by the way that we live this year, by the way that we encounter and deal with difficulties, and the way we receive blessings. But let us also spread the gospel, Lord, with our lips. Give us opportunities to share words of encouragement and blessing to those who don't yet know you. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to see opportunities for evangelism and mission. Open our eyes, Lord, to see the blessings you put before us. And open our eyes to see you, even in the tough times. For we offer this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus, and for his sake. Amen. love has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Let us respond to God's love as we give unto the Lord his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the love you have shown to us in the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. We know we don't deserve this love, but we would offer these gifts to you as tokens of our love and expressions of our thanks. And we ask, oh Lord, that you would take really all of us, all that we are, all that we have. Use us, oh Lord, so that others may come to know your love. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Today we continue our study of Paul's epistle to the Romans, turning to chapter 13. Read just a few verses that I think are very appropriate for our celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Selection beginning at verse 8, chapter 13 beginning at verse 8 and reading through verse 10. This is God's word. Paul writes, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." That's God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. What do you owe? What did you rack up any big debts this holiday season? If the ads running during the bowl games are any sort of accurate metric, lots of people have bought new cars. My dad used to buy a new car every 3 years so he could depreciate it for tax purposes. And he liked to shop the end of year sales. I guess he thought he was getting a better deal that way. What do you owe? Maybe you racked up some bills buying gifts for your kids and your grandkids. Americans, I am told, spent almost 5% more this Christmas season than they did last year. We can only wonder how much of this increase will end up on the credit cards and be expressed in pinched budgets for the remainder of this year. What do you owe? Well, no matter how many or how few dollars you may have borrowed during this holiday season, Paul tells us there's one debt that all of us owe, a debt of love. He points us to the second part of what has come to be known as the Great Commandment, a commandment found in the law of Moses and reaffirmed by Jesus himself: love your neighbor as yourself. Paul turns his lesson on love in a rather puzzling direction. He draws our attention to the last five of the Ten Commandments. You know them. You learned them when you were in Sunday school. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. These commandments are easy enough to understand. Not that they're that easy to keep, especially not the way that Jesus explained them during his Sermon on the Mount. You may recall how Jesus internalized these seemingly outward prohibitions. He reminded us that if we're not supposed to kill, we're also not supposed to hate. He reminded us that lusting after someone is just as serious as having an affair with that someone. But what does this list of prohibitions have to do with the love that Paul says we owe to our neighbors? After all, just because I'm not mad enough at someone to want to kill him doesn't mean I love him. There is a lot of emotional distance between caring and nurturing on the one hand and murder on the other. So what do these commandments have to do with love? Okay, well, think about someone you love. Think about someone you really, really love. Killing that person would be the farthest thing from your mind, right? Of course you wouldn't want to steal his wife. Of course you wouldn't want to steal her property. Of course you wouldn't want to tell lies about him or want to have her possession. So keeping these commandments are, if you will, symptoms of love. They're outward and visible signs of love. They're examples of love. If we really love other people, we will fulfill all of these commandments, really all of the law. And we'll do it without even thinking too much about it. And so, as we prepare to come to this table, we need to examine our hearts along these lines. For after all, here we not only make an outward and physical expression of our faith in, our trust in Christ, we not only celebrate our union with Christ, the amazing truth that the Spirit of Christ lives within all of his people, just as surely as this bread and this fruit of the vine enter our bodies. No, because we all come to the same table, because we all eat and drink in the same way, here we express another truth, that we are connected to one another, that we are connected to everyone who loves and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ just as we do. Here we thus not only celebrate the spiritual presence of Christ, we also celebrate the unity of the church. Now, we know how important it is for this sacrament accurately to express our love for God. It's important for this sacrament to express accurately our faith, our trust in Christ. That's why the elders are the ones who serve the people. In order for anyone to join the church, it's the elders who are responsible for making sure that they know the basics of the Christian faith, that they really do know that they're sinners in need of a Savior, that they really do trust in Christ alone for their salvation. So before anyone comes to the table, he or she needs to have an idea of the love that God demonstrates for us on the cross of Christ. Needs to have an idea of that the shed blood of Christ is the payment, is the penalty that all our sins deserve. We know it would be a terrible mistake for anyone to take communion, for anyone to make an outward show of union with Christ by faith, if at the same time they were inwardly still trusting in their possessions, or trusting in their respectability, or trusting in their hard work, or anything else. That's why in 1 Corinthians, Paul says we should examine ourselves before we come to the table to make sure that our faith in Christ is genuine. He said, anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. But you see, in today's passage, Paul reminds us that discerning the body of Christ, also includes an understanding of our relationship with other believers, the other members of the body of Christ. Thus, our self-examination must not only be limited to our orthodoxy, we must not only have a proper, loving, vertical relationship with Christ, but also a proper, loving, horizontal relationship with all other believers. So what do you owe? How big are our debts this holiday season? Do we owe more love to God? Do we need to spend more time with Him in prayer? Do we need to spend more time listening to Him as we study His Word? And what about that debt of love we owe to one another? Do we need to set aside some old grudges and truly forgive those who may have hurt us? Do we need to rearrange our priorities, putting the needs of others ahead of our own? Do we need to reach out to our neighbors, whoever they may be, loving them just as much and in the same way that we love ourselves, meeting their needs as best we can, welcoming them into our lives to the extent they'll let us? What do you owe? Now, the good news is that we're all welcome at this table, no matter how great our debts may be. This table isn't just for members of this congregation. It's not just for Presbyterians. This is Christ's table. And all those who know they're sinners, all those who are truly trusting in Christ as Savior, are welcome here. All those who've been baptized and made a profession of faith in any Christian church are welcome. Remember, Jesus Himself said, "Come unto Me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." But in that same invitation, Jesus goes on to say, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me." Right? In other words, we must not only accept Jesus as our Savior, accepting His rest, but we must also own Him as Lord, bearing His yoke. We must not only seek His gracious pardon for our sins, but we must repent. We must turn away from them. Turn away from sin and seek to walk in His ways. That's what it means to have Christ as our Lord. And the good news is that the spiritual reality to which this meal points will allow us to do those things. For if Christ is within us, just as surely as this bread will be, then He can live His life through us, a life of complete submission to the will of God, life of perfect love for others. If the blood of Christ has truly washed our hearts clean of sin, just as this fruit of the vine goes inside of us, washing us from the inside out, then we will be able to live in a way that pleases God, a way that blesses others, a way that truly fulfills God's law of love. So if you truly and earnestly repent of your sins, if you are in love and charity with your neighbors, if you intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in His holy ways, come to the table. Draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort and strength. Let's prepare our hearts to come to the table as we sing all the stanzas of hymn 220. Hymn 220, "Break Thou the Bread of Life." And let us stand to sing.
may be seated. And let us pray. Lord, as we come to your table, we confess that we owe such great debts that we cannot pay. Because you have given us life, because you have saved all who trust in Christ from our sins, we owe you. We owe you all our love. We owe you all our devotion. And because you have commanded us to give that same kind of love to all our neighbors, we owe everyone our best, the best of our time and our talent and our treasure. But we have not paid these debts. We have held our love back from you. We've decided for ourselves what is right and wrong. We have lived more for our own pleasure and glory than for yours. And we've held back our love from others. We've avoided those who are too different or too scary. Those who have hurt us or who we think might hurt us. We even withhold our love and we hurt those we claim to love the most. So we repent. We mourn our sins. Remembering our sins brings us grief, not least because we know that our sins bring you grief. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us. Forgive us all that is past. Grant that we may from now on serve you and please you in newness of life and live to the honor and glory of your name. And we offer this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the promise of God to those who truly repent of their sins and confess them. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Truly, all those who trust in Jesus Christ are forgiven. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for the forgiveness you offer us in Christ, and we thank you for the food on this table. We ask that you would be with us now, that your Holy Spirit would work in us, so that this bread and wine might be set apart, that here we might receive by faith the body and blood of Jesus Christ crucified for us. Grant us that here we might so feed upon Christ that he might be one with us and we might be one with him. That he might live in us, that we might live in him. And then let us live for him who has loved us and given himself for us. Merciful Father, we lift up our hearts to heaven where Jesus Christ is, seated at your right hand. We know that he shall come again to complete our redemption. In him all your promises are fulfilled and all spiritual blessings are found. And so it's in joy of heart and Christian love for one another that we come to this table, giving you thanks for the great love that you have shown to us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. After the same manner, our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as we have done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful." Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for graciously feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for assuring us by this sacrament of your favor and your goodness towards us. We thank you that by this sacrament you assure us that we are members of the body of Christ, along with all your faithful people, and that we are heirs through hope of your everlasting kingdom by the merits of Christ's suffering and death. And so we ask you, our Heavenly Father, to enable us with your grace that we may continue in your holy fellowship and that we might do all such good works as you have prepared for us to do, showing your love to one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. We'll sing just the first stanza of our hymn of dedication, number 207, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Let us stand to sing. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.